What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the One Word Podcast. This is Josh, and I am so excited that you are listening today to episode 4 of season 2 of the One Word Podcast. Hey, today we have a very special guest named Davin Salvagno with us. Davin is the author of a book that is coming out soon in November. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that. But Davin is also the CEO and founder of Purpose Point, and we are so excited for him to share about the word purpose today. Listeners, get ready. Here we go.
All right. Well, Davin, right. Thanks, dude. Thanks for being on the One Word Podcast with us today. We're pumped to hear about you, about your journey towards helping people find their purpose, and we'll get into that. But I think we want to start with just tell the One Word listeners, who is Davin Salvagno?
I am the husband of Amy Salvagno, the father of Vera and Bennett Salvagno. I'm a Christ follower. I'm passionate about purpose, people, and helping people realize their potential that they were created for. In terms of officially, you know, I'm the founder and CEO of an organization called Purpose Point, where we help organizations reconnect with their purpose of why they were created and help them to connect with the purpose of the people that are in their workforces. Author of a book called Finding Purpose at Work, and a speaker on the topic of purpose, people, and performance. But honestly, when it comes down to it, I'm just a regular guy wearing a purpose shirt, right? I mean, I don't want to dilute anything, but I just have a passion for helping people maybe see something in their life that maybe they don't see themselves, and pointing them towards that so that they could fulfill the purpose they were created for.
That's awesome. I love hearing that. And where are you joining us from today?
Michigan. So we're about 40 minutes north of Detroit, in Macomb, Michigan. Actually, our office is in Mount Clemens, Michigan, which is actually about a half hour from Detroit.
Okay. North.
What's one thing when you, sorry, Nick, I'm going away from the questions already. But what's one thing that you focus on? Because we have questions later for you that focus more about individuals and discovering their purpose or realigning, like you said, with the car. But what's one of the things that you notice with bigger organizations? What are some of the ways that you try to help them realign when they drift away from their purpose?
Yeah, so it always really starts with the same question. And that is, why did you start this company? What was the original? What was the very first idea, product, service? What was the original offering that you went into existence for? Companies constantly innovate and they change and they move away from what their original offering was. But there was a need, right? Every company sees a need. There's like, hey, there's this gap, there's this chasm, there's this need, and we can fill that if we do this. We're seeing that right now. You look at automotive companies right now, for example. We saw a massive shift over the last 6 months as we all went through COVID and are still going through COVID, where, you know, they didn't really need to make cars. They needed to make ventilators. You saw clothing companies. They didn't need to make clothing. They needed to make masks. You saw distilleries. Didn't need to make alcohol. They needed to make sanitizer. They saw what their purpose was to make stuff. What they made changed based off of where the need was. And so what we try to do is bring them back to what was the original product, surface, or offering that they had? What was the need that it filled? And why did they go in that direction? And then we help them see where they're at now. Okay, well, what is the need that's out there right now? And is what you do still relevant? Or do you need to shift to get back to meeting that need? Because at the end of the day, that's what purpose is. Purpose is, there's different quadrants and we can get into this, but the starting point of purpose is, what is it that I do or that I'm good at, or what my gifts, talents, or the resources that I have, whatever you want to, what is it that I have within here that can help or meet the needs of those out there? And how am I utilizing that? And that's true whether it's an individual or it's a company. The problem is that we are so innately self-centered and self-focused that it's really hard for us to have that outward mindset. It's another great book by the Behringer Institute, The Outward Mindset. And you have to take your eyes off of what it is that you want to accomplish for yourself and say, what is it that we want to help accomplish for others? And the companies that are thriving right now, especially during this time, are doing that. You know, they've kind of laid aside a lot of what their agendas were for 2020. And they're saying, how do we need to retool, you know, reprogram, innovate, shift, adjust, so that we can help others accomplish what they need to accomplish through what it is we do or what we have. And the companies that are not doing that, the companies that are just saying, well, how do we continue with the status quo? Or how do we just continue to achieve what we want to accomplish? They're the ones that are struggling right now. And that's true at all times, not just in COVID. And I also think that's true for us on an individual level. I know the question was about organizations, but I think for us individually, if you're focusing on how do I survive, how do I accomplish my goals, how do I get what I want, you're going to find yourself very frustrated. And even if you accomplish it, you're going to find yourself unfulfilled, because we were wired to help others. We were wired to impact others, to make a difference in this world. And so what you will find is, if your mindset is focused on every single day, how can I help from where I'm at with what I have? Who can I impact? How can I make a difference? You will find opportunities present themselves for you to do that. You will find yourself aligned with your purpose. You will find yourself living and operating in the center of your purpose. And you will find fulfillment because you are doing that.
That's so big. That is applicable, like you said, organizationally, but also every day. Like walking in the grocery store, if you ask yourself, how can I help someone here today? That could change not only someone else's day, but your day, just by leaning into that purpose of, like you said, helping others. That's huge. Let's shift gears a little bit towards what is coming out soon, your new book. I think it's coming out soon. It's not already out, right?
No, it'll be out next month.
It'll
be available for pre-order in September, and it'll actually be out for delivery in November. So it was supposed to be out in August, but there was a really cool story from another company that I came across just recently in June, and it embodied everything that I was talking about. And so I literally said, hold the press, literally. And we stopped the publication of the book, added these four pages into the book, and now we're back out, right? So we got delayed about a month or two, but the book Finding Purpose at Work will be available for pre-order in September, and it will be out officially late October, early November.
Davin, where can people get it?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Powell's Bookstore, BookBaby, I mean, anywhere where books are distributed. They're obviously in print and online versions, but you'll be able to get it anywhere where books are sold.
Love it. Love it. All right. If you could help people that are trying to like start their journey of finding their purpose vocationally, and what job they are dreaming of and what job they have, and maybe the difference between that, what would be your advice to someone that's just starting out on this journey of figuring out their purpose in the workforce?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, chapter one of the book is dedicated exactly to that. But I'll talk through that a little bit. So purpose has these four elements to it. There's what you love to do. There is what you're good at. There's what the world needs. And then there's what you get paid to do. And this isn't a new concept. I didn't create it. It's been around for a very long time. You could Google it and you'll see this Venn diagram pretty much anywhere. But what I have found, my insight to this, is that we have a tendency, if you look at all of these Venn diagrams, they all have what you love to do at the 12 o'clock spot of this Venn diagram, right? And then they have what the world needs at 3 o'clock. And then they have what you get paid to at 6 o'clock. And then they have what you're great at 9 o'clock. If you're thinking about a clock. What's amazing to me is, even in the creation of this diagram, we still started being self-focused. What is it that you love to do? But that's not the starting point of purpose. And so the problem is that if you're in college or just coming out of college, even in high school, I remember my guidance counselors back in the 90s saying, Davin, what is it that you love to do? They were trying to steer me down a career path. And they were focused on what is it that I love to do, rather than figuring out what is it that I'm good at. Because that's the real starting point. You know, I shared this at the Purpose Summit last year. I love playing hockey. I really love playing hockey, but I'm 5'6". I could never possibly play in the NHL. It would never happen. I would get crushed. So even though that I love to do that, that clearly is not my purpose. You know, there's others who maybe, you know, their thing is that, you know, they love underwater basket weaving. That's fantastic. The world doesn't need you to do underwater basket weaving. So it doesn't start with what is it that you love and what is it? It starts with what is it that you're good at, and then what does the world need? And so I would encourage you that if you're listening to this and you're either in college or just coming out of college or even just coming out of high school, is that you reflect and look at what is it that I'm good at? And here's the thing. God drops clues into your life throughout this entire journey. People will tell you what you are good at. My entire life, people told me that you should either be a lawyer or a teacher or a speaker. And up until 35 years of age, I was none of those things because I didn't think that I was a good teacher. I didn't think that I was a good speaker. I still don't. People will say that I am, but there's a great book called The Heart of the Artist. That's a whole other book that I'll talk about another time. But we often think that we're not good at the things that people tell us that we're good at because we're our own worst critics. But God will place people into your life where he's pointing you in a direction saying, you have a gifting in this area. You are good at this. Or others will tell you or thank you for some difference or impact that you made on their life, and they will tell you how you did it. And our natural inclination at that point in time is to kind of belittle them and to tell them that they're wrong and saying, oh, no. You know, I, for a great example, I'll serve on our worship team on Sundays and playing piano, and I'll hit a wrong chord. And that's all I'll think about the entire time. And then I'll start the negative self-thoughts come and be like, someone else should be playing the piano. I shouldn't be playing the piano. I'm terrible at this, whatever the case is. And then someone will come up afterwards and go, oh my gosh, worship today was amazing. Thank you so much for blessing us, whatever the case is. And I'll go, no. Didn't you hear that terrible F sharp minor that I hit the wrong way or whatever it is? And what we're basically doing at that point in time is telling them your opinion doesn't matter. You're wrong, and we're not listening to what God is trying to tell us in that moment. C.S. Lewis has a great quote. He says that true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And so what we tend to do is when people compliment us or tell us what we are good at or what direction we should go in or how we can help them or how we can bless them or whatever those things are, we're not listening. And our natural reaction is to think less of ourselves and to say, no, I'm not that good at that. When what we really need to be doing is receiving that, silencing the lies that are in our head that are combating us in that moment, and just simply saying thank you, and then focusing on how does God want me to use this more? In what other areas is he calling me in my life to help others in the way that I've helped this person or that I've made this impact? And so those clues happen at a very early point in our life. We just have to be listening for them. We got to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on others. We have to take our ears and get off of ourselves, get out of our own head and listen to what others are saying to us. And then consistently ask ourselves, how can I use what I have or the things that people are telling me that I'm good at to help those around me be better or experience life in a more abundant way through the giftings and talents and abilities that I have? That is what I would recommend to any person who is coming out of school and figuring out what's the mark that I want to make in this life? What's the difference that I want to make? Think about the differences you've already made, the impact you've already made, and ask yourself how you can do more of that. Not for your glory, not for your fame, not for a paycheck, not for a lifestyle, but for a greater impact because you lived.
That's so good. Wow. Even just that section right there, Davin, touched my life, and that'll bring so much value to so many listeners. So thank you for sharing that. And thanks for sharing part of your personal journey with that. And for us to not sit here and go, oh, this guy's perfect, he's got it all figured out. But thanks for sharing that with us, that it's an ongoing process for all of us. So that is awesome. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question that's a little more relevant to the COVID season and quarantine and that. But what's something you've learned during this season that you'll be better for because of it? So going forward, you go, maybe there's been a shift that's been forced upon you or a new habit that you've developed. What's something that you're like, I'm going to keep that with me going forward?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So what I've learned during this time is that there's three types of ways to react to a crisis, particularly like this one, the COVID one. There's, you could panic, which never does any good. I mean, honestly, look back at your life and look at any time you've ever panicked and ask yourself, how did panicking add value to the situation? It didn't. You can pander, meaning you can cave in and you can wait for the storm to pass, if you will, and hope that you can just go about your day and there's minimal damage on the other end of it. Or you can position yourself and you can anticipate what is happening in the moment and what is it that's being asked of you in that moment, and then position yourself to meet that need, whatever it is you're being called to. And to me, that's the greatest takeaway. I think the greatest takeaway for me in this season has been not asking why is all of this happening, because we can get lost in that. Why is all of this happening? God, why are you doing this? Why is this being allowed? Why? I love Simon Sinek and I love how he has, you know, his start with why concept, but I offer a different opinion, which is pretty interesting when you think about how closely why and purpose are correlated. But I honestly think the greatest question that we could ask is what? What is it that is being asked of me in this time? What is it, God, that you are doing? And what is it that's being asked of me in this time? And then where am I supposed to position myself? Where am I supposed to go? So it's what is being asked of me, and then where am I supposed to position myself? Where am I supposed to go? And that's applicable across the board. I've had to ask that question as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a business leader, as a community leader. In so many aspects, I've had to ask, what is being asked of me in this season of time? And where am I supposed to position myself? And then how am I supposed to use whatever it is that I have to offer in that moment, right? So what, where, and how? Why is a very important question, but why also tends to not lead to the next step. Here's what I mean by that. We could start with why, and we could say, okay, well, here is, we're going to go out and we're going to do whatever. And that will give us motivation, but it doesn't lead to the what, the where, and the how. I think the why is an important question that we constantly need to remind ourselves of. But the greatest thing, because here's the thing, prior to COVID, I would tell you the most important question is why. We have to ask why about everything. Start with why. Why is the most important question? And that's what I would have said 6 months ago. But I have a different opinion through COVID. I think the most important question is what? What is it that God is doing? What is it that's being asked of me? Where am I supposed to position myself? How am I supposed to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that I have? And then we need to remind ourselves with the why, right? You just did a great sermon on the weight. And one of the things that you said is that the purpose of man, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's man's chief end, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's our why. So we should keep that in mind. But what that doesn't answer is what is being asked of us, where are we supposed to position ourselves, and then how are we supposed to operate? So we need to remind ourselves of our why, but the greatest question that I will always remember coming out of COVID is what is being asked of me in this moment of time? Where am I supposed to position myself? And how am I supposed to use whatever it is that I've been given and that I have in here to help those around me?
Mm, Man, that is great stuff, Davin. Thanks for sharing that. That's so good. I like to look at it from what you're saying is like the why is so important, but it's not giving you any next steps. And you might have just said that. I might have just copied exactly what you said, but it's not giving you any practical next steps. So sometimes it's like, all right, I know my why, but what am I going to do about it? Where am I going to go? So that's so good. Thanks for sharing that, Davin. Hey, this is one of our first episodes of season two of the podcast. So we have some new segments. So one of our new segments is top five. So you're the expert on purpose. So we want to know what would be the top five resources you recommend on purpose. So some listener right now is going, man, I love what this guy has to share. I want to dig deeper. Where are you going to tell them to go?
Yeah. So my number one, well, obviously the number one place to go would be the word, right? So there's a lot of purpose in the word. And so that has to be number one. But I would say number two, other than scripture, other than the Bible, the number one resource that has impacted my life, so this would obviously be number two, is a book called Halftime by Bob Buford. Now, in his book, he caters to an audience between the ages of 35 and 55. But now that I processed this more and I've read it through it several times, going back to your earlier question, you know, I almost think this should be a book that's given to people right out of school, because you shouldn't have to wait until you're in the middle point of your life to discover what Bob helps us discover in that book. And so the book Halftime is about shifting from chasing success to pursuing significance in your life. And he does a really great job of helping you self-reflect on the first part of your life and saying, okay, why was I climbing the corporate ladder? Why did I do all this stuff? Go to school, get a great education, career, house, blah, 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 all that stuff. And transition your mindset to what is the purpose that I was created for? What was the impact that I was created for? How do I shift from a mindset of achieving success to pursuing significance? Outside of the Bible, it's the number one book that has impacted my life. At the age of 36, I quit my corporate career, left everything, and just pursued God's purpose for my life after reading that book. And it was a crazy leap of faith, and it's been one leap of faith after another. But I will, and I'm not telling you that if you read that book that you're going to quit your job by any means. It's a great book to realign to what it is you're wired to. And I would encourage people to read that book as early as they possibly can in life. So Halftime by Bob Buford. A third resource that I would recommend is this is probably more from a leadership standpoint and a business standpoint, is The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. So in my opinion, Patrick Lencioni has written a ton of great works, Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Death by Meeting, The Ideal Team Player. I can go on and on, but The Advantage is kind of like the best of. It's like he took everything he has to offer and he plunged it into this book. And there is an entire chapter on purpose, specifically organizational purpose. And in my opinion, it's the best chapter ever written on the concept of business purpose, corporate purpose, or organizational purpose. So The Advantage. So we got the Bible, Halftime, The Advantage. And then another book that I would recommend, and you'll notice that all of these resources are books. Don't get the audio book. I'm going to say that again. Don't get the audiobook. So first and foremost, as I name these, make sure you actually get the books, take some time, remove distractions, dive into them, absorb them, because that's the only way you're truly going to get the essence of the delivery of purpose that's in them. So scripture, Halftime, The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. A fourth resource, Mastering Monday by John Beckett. Such a great book, probably number three in terms of books that have transformed my life. Mastering Monday is about integrating your faith into work, right? So a lot of times we go to church on Sunday and, you know, we are steeped in worship and prayer and around like-minded people, all that. And then we go to work on Monday and it's like this separate part of life. And so he does a great job. He wrote a first book called Loving Monday. Mastering Monday is actually the sequel to it. And just like there are some movies where the sequel is better than the first, Mastering Monday, in my opinion, was better than Loving Monday, because he really does a great job of as you approach Monday, how do you take what your personal purpose and your work purpose and do this, right? How do I not have, okay, well, there's, you know, me, Davin, the Christian, the worship leader, the musician, the whatever. And then there's me, Davin, the business consultant, the author, the speaker, the whatever. No, how do we take those things? And there's just you and how God wants to use you and your purpose in every moment, no matter where you're at. So Mastering Monday. And then I will say that as far as a fifth resource, here's where I'm going to deviate from books in terms of purpose. Silence. Silence is the greatest resource that we have because we are so busy. We're going to jump off this podcast onto another one and onto another one or onto social media or into our email or into another meeting or into whatever. And we don't take time to stop and listen and hear from the one who created us, who is saying, you know, whether you walk to the left or the right, this is the way you should walk in it. We are constantly being told, if we will listen, to what direction we should go and how we should operate, where we're being called, how we're to be used. But we have to listen. And we can't listen if we're not allowing for silence in our lives. So top five, number one, get into the word. Number two, Halftime by Bob Buford. Number three, The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. Number four, Mastering Monday by John Beckett. And number five, and probably other than number one, the most important, allow for space of silence in your life to hear what your creator has to say to you so that you can fulfill the purpose that you were created for.
I think Nick was trying to ask if you have any closing thoughts or any final thoughts you wanted to share that you didn't get to share today.
Yeah, I think I've shared everything that I want to say, but there's one last story maybe that I'll say that has really been resonating with me right now. If you're listening to this, you might say, that's great. You know, I know people that have found my purpose, Davin, this is all sounds great. And this purpose stuff is all grand, but you just don't know my situation. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know the Red Sea that I'm standing on the edge of and the army of Egyptians that is about to overtake me. And so I just want to share this right now because I've said this before and I'll say it again. Your circumstances don't define you. Your choices do. Circumstances don't define you. Choices do. And I specifically mentioned the Red Sea and the Egyptians because I've been captivated in this season of time by that Bible story more than any other Bible story. Because here's what we often don't know about that story is that the Egyptians who were stuck in Egypt, that were in captivity, who find themselves now free at last and heading out to the promised land only to find themselves trapped by a massive body of water and the Egyptians overtaking them, they start to question themselves. Why did we leave Egypt? It would have been better to have lived in slavery and in captivity than to have brought out here to die in the desert. And Moses, you know, cries out to God and God responds, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Egyptians to move on, make a choice to move on. But all they could think about is going backwards, back into their past circumstances and into the slavery of that circumstance. What most people don't know is that there was a direct path from Egypt to the promised land that did not involve the Red Sea. It was shorter, it was faster, and it didn't involve having to cross a massive body of water. But God took them south and out of their way and put them on this peninsula, trapped by a body of water, with the Egyptians pursuing them to challenge them, but also to remind them of this moment, so much so that we're still talking about it thousands of years later. He took them there, he parts the sea, they go through it, the Egyptians follow, the waters rush back over them, and they rejoice. And they remember this moment and God's faithfulness in it. Now, here's the thing. If they would have taken the shorter route, the Egyptians would have eventually caught up to them and probably had overtaken them, and they probably would have died in the desert. So the only way that God could have delivered them from the circumstances that they were in was to take them through a body of water where God can then wipe out what it was that was pursuing them, where God could actually wipe out the circumstance that they were in. But they couldn't see that until they were on the other side of the Red Sea, where they could go, oh, that's what he was doing. Now we know why we were in that circumstance. If you find yourself right now and you're like, what is the purpose in all of this? I'm stuck. I'm stranded. You don't know my circumstances. And you just want to fall victim to your circumstances. Again, your circumstances don't define you. Choices do. I encourage you to make a choice to listen and move forward to whatever purpose that you're being called to, because I will promise you that maybe while you can't see it right now, that once you are on the other end of whatever challenge it is that you're being presented with, you will see what was being done in your life and what the purpose was in all of this. And you will also see that it couldn't have played out any other way. There's a divine plan that is a divine purpose for your life, for your company, for your organization, whatever it is that you want to apply this to. And that no matter how hard you might feel pressed right now, there is a delivery and a purpose that will unveil something far greater that you could have imagined. So keep pressing forward. Don't allow your circumstances to define you. Choose to move forward into the purpose that you were created for and that you were called to, and don't look back.
That's so good, Davin. I am fired up right now. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is so good. And I love it because it goes hand in hand with our mission at One Word. Our mission is choose it, rep it, live it. And we really started One Word because we believe that by focusing on One Word and choosing to live it out, you can radically transform your life. So I love that you shared that it's not our circumstances that matter, but our choices that do. Davin, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you on the One Word podcast today. We're so humbled and honored that you shared your time with us and our listeners. And I'm going to listen to this thing like 5 times just because I'm going to glean so much from it. So thank you so much, Davin.
Well, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for starting the One Word movement. Thank you for these great shirts. And I look forward to handing these out everywhere that I can and shining the spotlight on what you guys are doing and on your purpose and the impact that you're making. So thank you for giving me a platform to be able to share here today.
What an incredible opportunity that we got to hear from Davin Salvagno today. Hey, if you guys enjoyed this episode, make sure that you say something about it on social media. If you guys enjoy the One Word podcast at all, give us a rating or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That means so much to us. We hope that you guys are learning something from these One Word podcasts and that they are helping you choose it, rep it, and live it, because that is what we are all about. Until next time, have a good one. Thank you.